Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's Monday morning. It's April 26th, and the sun's shining, at least for right now. You can call us at 605-4567. You can listen to us via your computer at KCNR1460.com. You can write to Linda at Linda@KCNR1460.com. So there is no excuse for not getting in touch with us. And speaking of no excuses, there's Bad Bob.
And good morning.
How are you doing, Bob?
Excellent. Looks like got a little more rain coming, more water for the lake, yes.
Which means that what we did over the weekend is even more important. So, and speaking of the most important part of the whole show,
she's
right here.
Oh, good morning. You know, today we thought it was going to be rainy today, but actually you have increasing clouds happening today with a high of 73. So we still have one more day that is going to be beautiful to get out there. Tonight is when the showers begin, but it's beautiful out right now. Currently 48 degrees here at 706 on KCNR. Wow, you know what? We really did. We buffed up the Harley and we took it out both Saturday and then Sunday was a very long day. It was beautiful. I felt, and I said this several times to Carl, that I felt like I was on vacation yesterday because you know, we saw places of the North State that we had never seen that are just 30 minutes out of town. Jelly's Ferry. Some beautiful back roads there. Unbelievable. We went to the back route to Lake Shasta, which I've never been to. I mean, I've driven over it, but I've never been to. I want
to
do
Shasta
a tour.
Dam. To the Shasta Dam.
Shasta Dam, sorry. Yes, correct. Shasta Dam. And I would love to do a tour of the dam because it's spectacular. And Bob's giving us thumbs up. Also, our Mark Beecham has always said that whenever you read the searchlight and you see like a thing on Mark Beecham, it does say one of his favorite things to do is eat sushi at a particular place and go to the Shasta Dam, take the tour of Shasta Dam. So it intriguingly beautiful and thrilled that it's full. It's attractive to look at when it's like that, and then taking pictures on the bridge, and we had a good time.
It's quite beautiful, and then
felt like I was somewhere else. It was amazing.
Well, it is. I mean, you can be literally 15 or 20 minutes out of town and not see anybody for an hour of riding, so that was pretty good. And we did pass about 100 or so or more motorcycles going the opposite direction that were riding for a relay. It was a Relay for
Relay
Life.
Relay for Life.
Yeah, and that was looked like a pretty well organized run.
Yeah, there's about 100 of them in the back.
Know, we've got a big week this week. We've got a lot of stuff going on. You know, like today, this morning, we have Kathy Darling, who is running, of course, our county clerk, Shasta County Clerk, who's also running. Her opponent is Russell Hunt. We also have a gentleman by the name of Scott Borg, who is the president of the Safari Club International from right here in Reading. And it's kind of interesting to see just Safari Club in Reading. I'm not exactly sure, you know, how that works, but we want to talk to him. But on through this week, we're going to have a variety of guests. Senator Tom Harmon, who is running for the Attorney General spot, he's in the runoff right now, will be here. We'll be calling Thursday, and we'll be talking to him about what he believes is important, what the Attorney General should be doing for the state of California. And of course, Friday, we have Angela Fitzgerald, who is one of the main drivers for the Family Justice Center. And it's always interesting to have Angela on to hear what she's saying. Other guest will be Mike Malachak from the Fly Shop, owner who started the Fly Shop.
It's a great story.
Decades ago, and how he selected Reading. Wait till you hear how he selected Reading. And then at noon at Tobacco and Brew for our town hall meeting, it's going to be Jim Nielsen is going to be here.
He's going to be here both Friday morning and Friday afternoon.
No, he'll be there. He'll be there just for Friday afternoon, but that's fine. We have an hour there. And we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we want to talk about a few things. What day is today, of course? You know, they have a national day. Bob, it's not National Bad Bob Day because he got all excited. I have to put you, calm down. I know you want it to be National Bad Bob Day. It could be, you know, someday, but not today. And then we have also, we want to talk about some things that have hit the papers. We want to talk about, is there a stonewalling going on about the Fort Hood massacre? But the greening of America, is it really greening, or is it maybe a little hyperbole going on there? This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Good morning. 7:13 here on a Monday morning. Oh, yeah. 605-4567. We're taking your calls this morning. What do you want to talk about? We've got several things here. I mean, can you believe we're in such a crazy place right now? Not here at the KCNR studios, but just what's happening in our country. And, Carl, I know you've got a few lists there.
Well, not anymore, you know, because during the break, Linda said, well, I want to talk about this. So we just took two years' worth of research, and I had Jim shredded
there. Because you were talking about green. Let's talk about green. Currently 48 degrees as we're talking about weather. It's going to be beautiful today, partly cloudy, but 48, going to be high of 73. And the storm or the rain will be coming tonight after 11. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway.
In fact, we were there Saturday, and...
Can't just stay for 1 hour, dare ya.
You try to ride in.
Dare you to do it.
Just stuff happens. Okay, you know what today is? Today is National Pretzel Day.
How amusing.
Okay. I just thought you might need to know that. The other thing I want to talk about was we've had lots of comments on the debate from last week between Shasta County District Attorney and his challenger, Steve Carlton. The debate was held at Tobacco and Brew. We broadcast it live. We cut out our commercials. And then now it's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, we have 20 minutes of the debate.
And we're up on our Facebook.
The thing about it was that, I mean, the broadsides were launched early and were continuous throughout the debate. It's an interesting concept. But I believe that it is as fair as we could have made it as far as allowing both sides to have a say and what they believed. We don't have a dog in this fight. We just want to make sure is that everybody's got, has an honest look at what our candidates stand for. That's why here next week we're having as many of the candidates on as possible so that you can talk to them, you can ask them questions, the whole enchilada, you might say. The other things that we wanted to do too with the debate was just to allow people to see where the candidates stood on different questions. We just didn't stick to the district attorney. We talked about Second Amendment rights. We talked about illegal immigration. We talked about a number of different things.
Marijuana.
That
always
was, of course, that's a big question here in this town. I mean, and both of them had a similar but different outlooks.
And that's
on
one of the
something.
Subjects.
Right. Anyway, but you can go to our archives on Free Fire Radio and listen to that. Okay, let's go to the phones. John.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda. And good morning, Bad Bob.
Gosh,
good morning.
You do exist. Wow.
Yeah, you do. Okay. What's up, John? Good morning.
Well, in regards to the debate, it was excellent. I enjoyed it. I think both candidates presented themselves very well. And I'm not going to take a side either at this point. I'm just going to say that it was worthwhile watching. And I think if another one occurs, everybody should take the opportunity to listen to the two candidates talk.
Well, John, did you think that it was they were given a fair shake on this?
I do indeed.
Okay.
Everybody had an opportunity to present their position in a good way, and the rebuttal times were appropriate. I think everybody did as well as could be expected under all circumstances. But you guys put on a great debate.
Well, thanks. We just want to make sure is that when people come on that they get a fair shot here, no matter what they're espousing, because we have a number of candidates we're trying to get on. One or two just won't come on.
Well, you gave the two, both of them, the opportunity to present their case in the best possible light they could.
Oh, thanks,
Steve. I think it was done well. Now, I happened to see Steve Carlton last night at the Cascade Theater attending the Sinbad performance, and I just want to say that he did a remarkable job. He filled the house.
Yay!
People
Steve Carlton or Sinbad?
It was fantastic. I mean, I didn't realize what a entertaining performer he really is. he stood up there for an hour and a half and stayed an extra 15 minutes beyond the startup time just because he was having a good time, and everybody else was too. And it was a benefit for the court-appointed special advocates, which is a group that help kids who are made wards of the court. They're kind of their ombudsman to the world, and this helps support the program. And he comes up once a year and does this. I was just impressed. I really didn't expect it to be that good, and the attendance was phenomenal.
That just warms our
heart. Wanted to pass that
Thank
on.
You. Oh,
that's good. You know, we've heard nothing but
he's a stand-up guy.
Yeah, nothing but that he is a stand-up guy.
Well, you know,
and
the,
he's done the many things for people.
The unique thing about his performance is there is it's if you'll accept the word clean.
Yes.
There is no nastiness in it. There's nothing you wouldn't want your kids to hear. I mean, it gets a little risque once in a while, but I mean, it is not any of this foul language stuff. It's just well done. That's all I can say. The guy's a good stand-up comedian.
That's great. That is just wonderful. Hey, you know what? That is a great way to start our Monday morning, to know that we have celebrities that are out there that you can take your kids to go hear. And we've, like I said, we've heard before. In fact, I met him at the Golden Boot Awards, which is where I had, you know, because he's been in some Westerns. And he was such a gentleman. And he, you know, was like ma'am and open doors and, you know, just a very...
Exactly.
I think he's a spiritual man.
You know what, Linda? After the show, he stayed on stage for another 20 minutes, signed everything anybody brought up to him, shook hands, talked and conversed with people. I talked to him about basketball, of all things.
Wow.
And, I mean, we just... The guy is a normal, natural human being, and he's an entertainer to the core.
Well, you know, we can thank CASA for bringing them in,
yep.
and for him to
Nadine
appear up
Bailey,
here.
Nadine Bailey, thank you.
And the group that put this on. Yeah, it's just been a...
stellar job.
Well, you know, it's again, we go back to Reading, and what a great place Reading is, and how it turns out to help each other, and, you know, it's even in trying times. So what else can you say about the city in this part of the country?
It was a great place. He said, I don't know what it is about this place. I keep coming back. He says, there's 12 exits. They don't go anywhere, but there's 12 exits. And he said, I love this place.
Well, he's right about the exits.
I mean,
if you need to find the right exit at the right day, you see which bridge is open.
You need to get on a Harley or any kind of motorcycle vehicle and take that exit and see, where's this going to take me? And it's
he said he did. And he said, takes him to dirt trails and all kinds of and there's a sign up there that says, soon to be developed. And he said, and that had a date on it of 1978.
He must be talking about Stillwater Park.
I was thinking the same, that or Oasis, one of the
other. Yeah, one of the two.
We're going to get in trouble here. Okay,
thanks, John.
I'm off the air. Thanks,
thank you.
Guys.
All right.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the phone call. Well,
all right, you guys. John always comes up with some great, you know, somebody, he's definitely an activist here. You know, he shows up, he writes, he calls, he's just...
He's an activist in the best sense of the word activist, and he takes cares about this community, he pushes, you're right, you're just absolutely right. Writes, joins, shows up, asks questions, and he asks good questions, and he just, you know, he's just not there to be a gadfly, he's there to do something.
Okay.
We got to take a break.
We do?
Yeah, it's usually break.
All right, I was just wanting you to get into your green thing. Okay, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. We'll see you after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It is 7:25. Carl and Linda Bott, our phone lines here are 605-4567. I hope you're having a good time this morning as we are. A good time, whatever word that is. Okay, I'm going to read you some quotes here that are very important. We have about 5 more years at the outside to do something. Civilization will end within 15 or 30 years unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind. We are in an environmental crisis which threatens the survival of this nation. The world is a suitable place for habitation. Population will inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make. The death rate will increase until at least 100 to 200 million people per year will be starving to death during the next 10 years. By 1975, some experts feel that food shortages that have escalated at a present level or world hunger and starvation will go into famines of unbelievable proportions. Okay. Those are statements from the very first Earth Day in 1970. So that is an interesting group of opinions. Because that kind of brings us in, and I don't think we've had worldwide famine since then, and we seem to still be alive, barely, of course, according to some of the environmentalists. Of course, and some of these were the ones that, you know, that still advocate not having children because of carbon footprints. And so the problem with, and the only person that heard her is from, she was on MSNBC, where probably nations that had TV and the time to watch it. So the people that she was reaching were the ones that really, their population rate is low. The ones that didn't hear are, they're expanding extraordinarily because of the medical advances we've made to keep people alive. But last week, a lady named Lauren Kay, who was president of the California Foundation for Commerce and Education, said that in order to regulate greenhouse gas emissions in California, they've involved, with our AB Bill 32, could say in the bill's findings and declarations, action taken by California to reduce emissions of greenhouse gases will have far-reaching effects by encouraging other states, the federal government, and other countries to act. Not so fast. And California right now is getting ready to push out these environmental regulations, the greenhouse gas emissions regulations, and it's not quite working the way we thought it was going to. It seems that a lot of these businesses that were going to do that are leaving. It's costly. And just what exact impact is this going to have on our state? 4 years ago, it seemed the world, or at least America, was moving toward it. However, it doesn't seem it's going as fast now. They're saying here is that another study released by an analysis group in Harvard have concluded that California faces a number of adverse consequences for being unable to integrate its cap and trade system into a wider regional or national system. It may not work, and yet we're going to be hammered for it, AB Bill 32. And let's just get into some other facts. You know, when people start talking about how green jobs will help us and how what we're going to do and how wind and solar are going to be the power of the century or power of the future, what they don't realize is that it requires huge amounts of land to deliver small amounts of energy, which disrupts natural habitats. Plus, you need all the wires and the lines to bring it there. That even an aging natural gas well produces 60,000 cubic feet per day, and that generates more than 20 times the watts per square meter of a wind turbine. This just goes on and on and on. And we're going to be covering more of this as we go on this week. But Denmark, who is the poster child for wind energy boosters, more than doubled the production of wind energy between 1999 and 2007. And the bottom line, even though they've got near zero population growth and just huge energy taxes, the emissions have not changed since the 70s. So what's that mean? Is it going to work? And we're not going to, we don't even have time to get into the batteries. You know, batteries are made from elements that are found mainly in China. Oh, China, our friend. Carlin and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Pre-Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. If you're scratching your head, say, where's he going with this? What I'm getting at is this. We're talking about green jobs. We're talking about green technology. And, again, we get into these buzzwords that say, oh, yeah, that's great. The reason I read you those comments and those statements from 1970 was that, the sky is falling. People are starving to death. There'll be worldwide famines by 1975. Well, there wasn't. There haven't been. Nor will there be.
But
there may be
famine
times
in certain, like in Africa and certain countries.
There could be, but it's not right. Worldwide. You're not killing off hundreds of millions of people due to food shortages. And yet, it's the headlines, it's the media that pushes this stuff out. But you got to take a good look at what reality is. You know, reality is that the Chinese are going to be pushing their solar panels. They're going to be making them, and they're already signaled their willingness to lose money on solar panels in order to gain market share. China's share of the world solar module business has grown from 7% in 2005 to about 25% in 2009 by dumping them on the market. So what's that do to our people here that are trying to build solar panels and solar technology? And again, let's go back to the fact that when we start talking batteries in these electric cars, that most people do not have a place close to them that they can plug their cars into. You know, it comes out of their house. And these batteries are made, like I said, of very scarce elements. The elements, 95 to 100%. Now, this is 95 to 100% of these elements are in China. So now we talk about oil, us being dependent on oil, which, by the way, an oil, a gasoline combustion engine, is so much more efficient. And so much more powerful than an electric one. Electricity, you know, electrical engines may be more efficient here in the future. But, you know, you talk about, well, where are we going to get these elements for these batteries? Well, right now, China. Our friend's China. Is China our friend? Can you hear me? Is China our friend? I don't think so. But what they are is they are starting to control more and more. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, the United States has improved its energy efficiency over the past three decades as much or more than any other developed country. Okay, now you're saying, where are you getting your facts from? New York Times. Now, the New York Times is not exactly a right-wing conservative newspaper, you could say. And if they push green technology, yes, they have, among other things. But these came out of an article there. But, you know, the bottom line is this, my friends, is that, you know, the United States has not done that bad. And according to the data from the Energy Information Administration, the average per capita energy consumption in the United States fell by 2.5% from 1980 through 2006. This reduction was greater than in any other developed country except Switzerland and Denmark. And the United States achieved it without participating in the Kyoto Protocol or creating an emissions trading system like the one employed in Europe. The EIA data also shows the United States has been among the best at reducing the amount of carbon dioxide emitted per $1 of gross domestic product. Okay, what we're saying is we've done okay. We're looking at other people screaming, it's going to happen, the sky's falling. Let's take a step back and see what's going on here. You don't want to spend billions and send it to potential enemies over in the Middle East for oil. Fine. Let's take the oil out of our own country. Let's deal with people that are friends of ours with oil. And let's take a good look at how we're going to have these batteries. Where everybody's going to be running on electric cars with the batteries in them, where are we going to get the elements from? What happens if the Chinese just start popping the price up? What if they want more? You know, this is not, you know, these are facts. These are not things I just pulled out of the air. These things are happening. So, you know, before we get riding this green wave down the road, we might want to take a look and see where that green wave's taking us. I mean, it could take us right into the coral reefs and bounce us around there for a while. My brides are here looking at me going, well, you know what, I believe in conservation. I believe in the environment. I believe in doing as much as we can for the environment, but I also believe in common sense approach on things. You know, before we just go, you know, just, oh, let's just go crashing down the road, as we have on other topics like this or other things that will change the face of America, let's take a look at where we're going to, why we're going there, and what the true facts are before we just vote that way. We're going to take a quick break, come back with our guest who is sitting over there in shock and awe, thinking, what did he get into? Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio. Hey.
Good morning, Reading. 605-4567. Oh, yeah. We're taking your calls here. KCNR 1460. Yeah. 7:42 in the morning. Currently 50 degrees. It is going to be a beautiful day today. Some clouds coming in. Going to be a high of 73. Tonight, after about 11, they say that that's when the shower storms are going to come. Or the shower. Or the showers. Whatever. But, Nancy, we've got you on line 10. Good morning. Good Monday morning, Nancy. What's on your mind?
Good Monday morning. Just wanted to call in and say hi to my favorite people. I wake up every morning to you guys. I just love it.
Well, great. What's on your mind?
There was the Earth and Watershed Festival this weekend at the City Hall there, and it was so much fun. We were part of it through I don't know what we were doing, tasting vitamins or something, and then all kinds of food and local vendors there. And I'm just really encouraged by Reading small business folks and what a good job everyone does working together in our community. It was just a lot of good fun, and I hear you guys were touring the countryside on your Harleys. That's really cool. The dam, beautiful place. All kinds of good earthy stuff. To do.
It was earthy. Nancy, what did you take away from the Earth and Watershed event?
Actually, there were about 75 different vendors there, and each one complimenting the other one. We had the Turtle Bay learning. They had this big truck where you could go in and see some things about Turtle Bay there. And one guy next to us was not really selling, he was giving away he called them prune trees, but, they're plum trees. It was really just a really high-spirited, people really caring about, the earth and taking care of each other. And just good, wholesome stuff. Nothing political at all that I could see.
Good.
It was just really a good time.
Good. How to make the earth a more beautiful place.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for your call, Nancy, and thanks for listening.
You betcha. Anytime. Have
all right.
a great
You
day,
guys have
great
a great week. Monday. Thanks.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Bye-bye. Hey, our guest today is Scott Bork, and he is, I'm going to say the president. Is that the right term? President of the Safari Club International Reading Regional Chapter.
Correct.
Safari Club. We're here. Now, we have seen you at various events because you have a van that you put out there that kids can go in there, and it's kind of a touch and hear and all those kind of things, right?
It's a moving van size truck. We have stuffed with life-size and shoulder mount items. They were donated to us, and we take it to the schools, some logging conference and some other events, and allow the kids to touch. The blind kids especially appreciate it because for the first time they can get a physical feel on what the animal's like.
Yeah.
It's called a sensory safari.
Correct.
Well, that's and we have seen, like I said, we've seen it, and I've seen where some of the fish and game department people are trying to line up time so they can bring their people, their little classes through there to be able to show them.
Yeah.
The mounts and that. Tell us about the Safari Club.
Well, Safari Club is an organization also known as SCI that does for hunters' rights what the NRA does for our gun rights. They protect it. At our fundraiser dinner, which will be May 8th, we, out of the funds, the 30% of it goes to National, which they use that in lobbying for our hunters' rights. And then the other 70% stays local, and we help events in the area, such as the Mission. We gave money for turkeys. The Shasta County Sportsmen's Association has a pheasant hunt. We help support them. And we had one boy a year ago who we took on a pheasant and a turkey hunt. He had cerebral palsy. We have another person, a veteran, that we are sending on an antelope hunt this coming fall. So
anything that you can do to push the idea or protect the idea that hunting is okay.
Yes.
And what people don't realize is how much of the habitat and how successful programs are to keeping animals alive, give them the habitat, and actually increasing their numbers are due to hunters.
Yes, the money raised by hunting fees has, since 1900, increased the population many-fold. The deer, the elk, the bear, turkeys were...
Antelope
were almost extinct at that time and have come back to even more numbers than when Lewis and Clark went across the country.
You know, that's correct. You know, people don't realize is that, the you know, well, I guess you should. If you live in the East Coast, white-tailed deer have become like rabbits in many times. And I remember back there years ago, not that long ago, that there were so many of them at one point, they were giving landowners five tags because there was just, they were eating themselves out of a habitat and they had to cull them down. So it's the and the antelope, a huge success story that came back, so that there, you've got literally I guess a million of them. I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are, but I know that they range now from New Mexico all the way up through Wyoming and the Dakotas and everywhere else.
If you ever drive across on the 80 across Wyoming, you just amazing the numbers out there.
I went antelope hunting last year, and it was like a little antelope highway out where we were at.
If you have any questions for Scott Berg, do give us a call at 605-4567. He is the president of the Redding Regional Chapter of the Safari Club. And how did you get involved with the club? I mean, tell us your backstory.
Well, actually, I didn't start hunting till I was 30, and I'd been given a rifle from family, and just trying to find the critters got me what was interested. I didn't get one for the first 4 years. And then getting involved with SCI, a friend of mine, Murray Coleridge, invited me, and I was on for about 10 years before I moved up to president. But it's just a great group of guys. It's a group effort. There's no individuals that do this.
Tell us about the dinner now, because it looks like it's going to be pretty interesting. You've got I know it's May 8th at the Red Lion Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner auction and raffle.
Yes.
And you all offer hunts, which is somewhat unusual from the rest of the other dinners that go on around here, and the fundraisers for the different different groups, mule deer, Rocky Mountain elk, and all that. But you all seem to offer a different type of dinner in.
Yeah, most of the hunts we have a couple in Africa. Mostly we've got ones from across the United States. Elk hunts, antelope hunts. We have an oddad hunt that'll be in New Mexico. Mule deer in New Mexico. Elk in Idaho. And we have a red stag hunt in with no trophy fees down in
New Zealand,
yes.
That could be a good trip. Wild buffalo hunt.
Yes, those are free ranging. This hunt, there is no within a fence.
Okay, I saw one time on a national show.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody do that, and in That's the background, disgusting. Yeah, it was like shooting them in a pen.
Yeah.
In the background, you saw the fence, and they just what could he possibly be thinking of? The only good thing was, he was never on that show after that. They brought in a new host, and I'm just thinking if that was the reason. But a wild buffalo hunt where there are free ranging is not the same thing.
Exactly.
It's everything you could possibly imagine, plus hunting equipment, art, and who knows what other kind of things you're going to have raffled off.
Stuff for the ladies. We have jewelry. We have learned to take care of the ladies, so we have items for them.
Well, you know,
smart safari club. okay, now I just want to say that again, it's a 45-foot trailer. If you have an organization or a school, this sensory safari. If you call Scott Borg 221-4650, that's 221-4650. They're scheduling at this time, and we did see it again out at the Anderson Fairgrounds, and it is. Life size and over 50 animals are on display. Scott said, children, handicapped children, they have a ramp to get up there, or it doesn't necessarily even have to be children. It would just be people, And you can, you know, you can pet a lion. You can, it, you know, it's really spectacular. Again, it's a great way to introduce people to some of these larger animals.
And if you'd like to see it, it will be at the Red Lion on May 8th. So if some of the schools, teachers, principals want to check it out, come there. It's,
you know, and people,
great.
What people don't realize, and we have to make a big point of this, is that all of these animals that you have there, the mounts that you have there, were all taken legally. They were all taken under strict supervision from a country they were being hunted in, and this is a way of making sure the herds stay healthy. And the fact is that it's also a way of income for these countries and a way of protein.
The other thing, these animals were taken the same way as all the animals in the Smithsonian, in the San Francisco Museum, in the L.A. Museum. I had one person who was upset because they were shot at some point. Well, it's like, well, all the other ones in the other zoos were shot also, but or in the
museums.
But this is also free. We all do it for free. There is no charge taken out to the school.
That's right. Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott here. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's KCNR 1460.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Don't forget Espresso Joe's. Inside of Tobacco and Brew, and every Friday, Carl and I are out there doing a live show. This Friday will be our 12 o'clock hour. We'll be with Jim Nielsen, congressman, and we will be streaming on freefireradio.com. Don't forget Tobacco and Brew, and of course, Carl always loves the walk-in humidor, but the girls there are friendly, great staff, and the best coffee you're going to have anywhere around.
That's right. You know, we like it there. 2143 Hilltop Drive. So much more than a tobacco emporium. Okay, Scott Borg, we applaud what you do in the sense of anybody. Like, we had Ducks Unlimited. And this, and that people just don't realize that it's the hunters out there that support so much of what's going on. And if you outlawed hunting, the tremendous problems you would have in keeping the habitat, keeping the game animals alive, that it would be a tremendous impact. I mean, how many billions of dollars do you think, or hundreds of millions of dollars, are being spent by sportsmen?
Well, I know Cabela's alone made over $1 billion last year.
Yeah, but how much do you think is paid? You know, and this is something we ought to research. That'll be easy to find. Bob, find out how much hunters and sportsmen, fishermen, you know, actually pay in with their license fees and all this other stuff to keep the keep the animals out there.
Well, I think that a lot of times, you know, especially for peace and loving people who are thinking, you know, again, we were just talking about energy, and they're thinking about peace on earth. I guess I would think, and I know this may sound like a general statement, that people who hunt are just basically yahoos to go out there and start to shoot at anything that moves. And I think that those people are that mindset, that what you do is you educate, as well as Ducks Unlimited, educate people at how this is a scientific fact on how you manage herds and manage the animal population so that it can thrive.
Yeah, if they allow fish and game to do what they're allowed to without any political things, the wildlife would be in even better shape. But that's exactly what we do. And it's just amazing what you learn by being out in the woods and just observing. There's lots of things that...
Hunting is not just synonymous with killing.
Correct.
There's a lot more to it.
Yeah. That and the camaraderie with friends. And as far as the animals, everybody I know, it's part of the diet. It isn't just killed and left. So
now we're eating antelope, and our friends like it. You know, we've had and people that we've been over to people's houses, and we've eaten all types of strange and exotic recipes. My favorite so far has been the over at Lou White, and he did the ragu spaghetti sauce with squirrel in it, and not the little ground squirrel. It was another kind of squirrel, but it's something different. Well, we appreciate you being here. Let's hit this one more time. How do they get tickets? How do they find out where this is, and who do they call for the Safari Club dinner?
Give me a call at Scott Borg at 221-4650. It's my office, so if you hear Trophy West first, just ignore that. Just ask for Scott. Or Cliff Duell at Shasta Valley Archery. His number is
365-9315.
Okay.
And so either one will get you tickets there. How's it going so far?
It's going good. Donations are tremendous. Yeah. We've got more hunts and more items giveaway than we've ever had before.
What's a Uadad?
It is a in the bighorn sheep family. It's down in Texas, more of a desert type sheep.
I was wondering. I see if there's a hunt going there. Okay, and then you, so that's going to be May 8th at the Red Lion Hotel. This has been Scott Borg. He's with the Safari Club International, or Reading Regional Chapter. He's the president there. And, this is a great, best part of the country, I guess, to have something like Safari Club International as opposed to maybe the Bay Area.
And don't forget, of course, to go down on May 8th and see the 45-foot trailer that it has ramps and stairs for easy access. And again, it's got life-size and over 50 animals are on display. Bring your kids down and check it out. This is would be a fun afternoon to be able to show the kids and the family and the exotic animals. They're not really exotic. Animals.
Yeah. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR, Shasta Redding. Good morning, Reading. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com, and you can get a hold of us at Linda at KCNR1460.com. It's 8:05 and 30 seconds. Anyway, before we go further, Bob, I told you, look up some of those facts about hunting. Give it to us here.
Well, according to a report called The Economic Impact of Hunting and Fishing in California, this was on the Associated Press, 1.7 million hunters and anglers in the state of California spent an average of $9.8 million per day for a total of $8.6 billion last year. And let's see here, nationwide, the 38 million Americans who do their hunting and fishing support 1.6 million jobs. That's more than Walmart, by the way, the largest employer in America. Annually, American hunters and fishermen spend more than $70 billion, that's with a B, on their recreation. That would rank 11th among America's Fortune 500 companies, ahead of AT&T.
Well, people talk about, limiting hunting and limiting this and limiting that. I don't think they realize the amount of money that's in this nation, and it's a it's low tech in many cases, and it's things that people do. It's anyway, okay, we're gonna have I'd really like to have a local show on hunting and fishing. Have a local show where we talk about shooting and guns and fishing and men and women and those things.
I know we've got Tom Gresham, and that's a wonderful show. People look at us and they go, "Have you ever heard our gun show?" They're like,
gun
"Are
talk,
you kidding
yeah.
me?" No, it is really good, and we discovered him driving back when we went to Sturgis a couple years back. We were in Utah or something, and we kept pulling over, to make sure, that we could get all the information.
And Bastiani Arms, one of our sponsors, helps make that show possible.
All right,
gun talk. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, we got a bunch of things we're going to cover right now, but let's go to the phones.
Later.
Donna, good morning. Donna, you're on KCNR.
Hello, Donna.
Donna,
are you with us? I think she said. I think the last word I heard was later.
Oh, okay. All right.
Donna, okay. All right.
Well, call us again, Donna. We'll get you on.
She may be going in and out of a cell. Is that there? She goes. Okay.
Good job, Bad Bob.
We have a delay, so it might be that.
There we go. Try it now,
Donna.
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Good morning.
Hey, I enjoyed hearing about your travels this weekend on the back roads, and I wanted to tell you about a couple of my favorite places. And that is Burney Falls and I'm sure you've been up there, but as if you're, some of your listeners haven't been there, that's a favorite place for the North State. I understand they're working on some of the trails up there, so it's a little bit early in the year to head up that way. But when the roads open up in Lassen Park, that is a place that a lot of foreigners come and visit and climb the mountain. And I think sometimes some of the people out of state and from foreign countries really appreciate that hike up the mountain more than some of the local people. And so I think it's, the sign at the bottom says allow 4 hours, but it probably took me 5 when I climbed it about 3 years ago.
Well, you're amazing.
Well, I did a lot of resting. But anyway, one of the most fun places that I discovered here lately was going up Shasta Bali. And that, when you're up there, you can look down and see both Lake Shasta and Whiskeytown Lake. And way, you got to go on a clear day right after it rains, and you need a four-wheel drive to go up that one. But it is an awesome trip, and it's only about 35 miles out of Redding.
Well, you know, that's one of the things we're discovering, is that 5 minutes outside of Redding, there's nobody there. You're having a great time. You know, that according to Bad Bob, Teddy Roosevelt once called Burney Falls the 9th wonder of the world. I don't know how he came up with that, but...
And they've made a lot of improvements in the last few years. You can now walk over the top of the falls. They have a bridge that goes over the top. And so it's a great place to visit.
Yeah, it has been a while. And you know what? I've never walked in Lassen Park. You know, where people can take the trails up there. I have never done that.
Well, you've got to climb the mountain. That is something that everybody should do at least one time.
Well, I'm going to climb the mountain. I'm going to look over the multitudes.
This is something that we have committed to doing this summer especially. We've never been on a houseboat on Lake Shasta. We've never taken a boat out on Whiskeytown. I don't know if it's just we traveled the first year that we were married, and then we got into radio land, and it feels like, you know, birthing a baby, you don't really have a lot of time. But
we're not going to birth a baby this year.
We've decided that we're going to take these concentrated trips here in the North State and really be able to just enrich our lives more with this beautiful part of the world that we live in.
Well, right now the wildflowers are blooming. When we get a lot of rain, and the red clover is all over the place. This is a great time of the year to take any of the back roads.
Well, you know, as we found yesterday, we saw a lot of places for sale yesterday, and it's one of those things that, wow, I wonder how much they want.
260 acres, 95 acres.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like 127 acres with a Sacramento waterfront
over by the sod farm.
I was wondering, you know, it's just which I guess maybe it may be sad that people are selling that, but it's just so beautiful out there. Anyway, hey Donna, thank you so much for calling.
You have a great day.
Thank you, so
too.
Much and before we go to break, I want to tell you something that I'm guilty of, and this is a great reminder. You know when you're sitting at a light and you think, okay, the phone's ringing, or I can text somebody when you're sitting at a light, it's my cell phone and I'm going to pull it out? Still illegal, okay, because the vehicle code states a person shall not drive a motor vehicle while using a wireless telephone unless that telephone is specifically designed and configured to allow hands-free listening and talking, and period.
Well, what if you've got it on speakerphone and you've got it sitting down beside you?
That's different.
Okay?
Because then that's
okay,
hands-free.
All right.
But if you're with that phone in your hand and a cop comes by you and you're doing a texting thing or you're holding it out in front of you, forget about it. It's wrong, okay?
Speaking of which, I saw a policeman earlier today close to the station here. You all might want to think about that. If you know where we are, on Market Street.
Just be following the rules. Coming back, speaking of rules, Kathy Darling's in the house. And we love that.
And
so
she is a rule keeper type of person.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Hey, this is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest today is Kathy Darling, the Shasta County Clerk. But we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna let you meet Kathy Darling. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl in the Bottom, KCNR 1460. Phone lines here are 605-4567. It is 816. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. It's off Athens Avenue, right there in the Cypress Square. DC Tim and a mysterious haircutter are barbers. They're not hairstylists. You won't find gel. You won't find people wanting to do your toes or your fingernails. Only thing you're going to find is great haircuts, great prices, and man's last stronghold. You know, I could wax eloquently about this for an hour, but I, of course, won't. I'm just telling you, it's a great place to get a haircut. You know, they go with the foam around the ears, the warm foam, and they shave around your ears. You can talk in there. You know, moms, bring your son down. I mean, there's nothing going on there that is too manly.
We need to take you there today.
I need to go there today because the hair is growing down.
On your neck.
Down my back, practically.
8:17 in the morning, currently.
Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold.
Okay. Right. Are you feeling the love? Are you melting in the kisses? It's 8:17 in the morning, currently 51 degrees. We have a very special guest in the house today. Good morning, Kathy, darling.
Good morning.
Okay. What are you running for?
I am running for re-election to the office of County Clerk and Registrar of Voters.
County Clerk and?
Registrar of Voters.
Okay. So I just want to be, never assume, always, I want to hear it from you. Could you please tell our listeners and share with our listeners some of your history? Tell us about where you grew up and how you came here and how long you've been holding this office.
Well, I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up in Washington, D.C., about 10 blocks from the Capitol, which was a great experience growing up. I came out to California to go to college. I went to UCSB. I put myself through college, so I worked the whole time I was in school. So as a result, it was not a four-year program. Surprise, surprise. And while I was in Santa Barbara, I got married and then moved here to Redding. My then at the time husband's family all lives here, and so we have two children. I'm no longer married to him, but his family is still very close, and they're all here. So I'm here for the duration, certainly. I started working when we came here to Redding at the county in the welfare department, actually, and worked my way up there, and then. When Ann Reed retired, I went to work. Before she retired, I went to work in the elections department. And then when she retired, I was appointed county clerk in 2004, ran for office in 2006, and now I'm running for office again.
What would you say, being a county clerk, is the favorite part of the job for you?
The funnest thing that I get to do is perform marriage ceremonies. That's an endless joy. It's so great to be a part of folks' lives when they're a lot of times very nervous, of course, but also very happy and excited to begin a new part of their life.
That's cool.
So yeah. Can you outline the duties of the county clerk?
Certainly. As the county clerk, I am what's called the ex officio registrar of voters, so the majority of my time is spent in the elections arena. Probably about 80 or 90% of my time is spent dealing with administering elections. We have two elections in Shasta County in the even years, like this one. We'll have an election in June and November. And then in the odd years, we have usually just one. But if California continues down its current path with all these special elections we've had in the last decade, perhaps that will continue to increase.
When will the mail-out ballots be mailed out?
They go out the week of May 10th. So they hit the post office that morning, Monday, May 10th, but usually folks will see them in their mailbox, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week.
Okay. You know, one of the things we talked about when we were setting up the show here, when we were down there, was the fact that many of these ballots aren't mailed back. You don't get them back till Election Day. So it's not like they take them and vote right then. A lot of times they'll wait and see what's going on.
You know, almost every voter obviously has their own decision to make. Every voter does have their own decision to make, I should say. But you're correct. The highest day of return historically is Election Day. Mm-hmm. We usually get a couple of thousand back the first couple of days. Like, for example, as I said, we mail them out May 10th. So starting May 17th, we'll get a couple thousand, couple thousand, couple thousand, then it'll trickle down. And then on Election Day, in a real busy election like the presidential in 08, for example, I think we got 7,000 or 8,000 delivered on Election Day.
Okay, is there the question I would have, is there something that in your term that you feel like you haven't been able to complete that you would like to complete if elected and brought into this term?
Yeah, I think the easiest thing to talk about as far as that's concerned is mapping. If you go to my website or the county's election website, you don't see a lot of maps, and we are in the process of developing a GIS so we can have digital maps on the website, especially for election night, so you can see, for example, what precincts have been returned as the night progresses.
Oh, that's good.
And we have the software already to do that, but we have to get the digital maps dialed in, and the county has a GIS project we've been participating in for a long time, and so maps on the website is a big project.
Wonderful. Kathy Darling is our guest. This is Carla Linda Bott. We're taking a break here at KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:25 in 5 seconds. It's KCNR 1460. And you know what? This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, I like it there. Not only do they let us host our debates, which was a huge success, and our town hall meetings at noon on Fridays, people come in there, and Joe and Shelley support that. It's the fact you get Espresso Joe's with a coffee, you get the finest walk-in humidor, and Joe and Shelley are just great Americans. They support veterans' causes and other causes. They're right there in the middle of it.
Bob.
And may I say that as we were breaking down on Friday, I observed AmVets came in and was using the facility as veterans' outreach location. Huge salute to them, and also a big thank you for all the cooperation they gave us with the setup for the engineering of the show. Couldn't have done it without their cooperation.
Well, you know, Tobacco and Brew are just great people down there. Okay. All right. Kathy Darling is our guest, and Shasta County Clerk and the Registrar. And we've got a number of questions that have come through, but what trends are you seeing in the registrations here in Shasta County? Are you seeing trends?
As far as party changes?
Yeah, parties, yeah, that kind of things. Or, you know, because it used to be 72% Republicans and, you know, much less than the Democrats. You know, the election still seems to be running heavier into the more conservative side than the liberal side. I guess you could say not liberal, but... Yeah, conservative
versus
liberal.
What do you see? Well, if you look at a map of California, actually, any county that doesn't touch water is red. If you look at the demographics in Shasta County.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Any county that doesn't touch the ocean
is red. All the inland eastern counties. Shasta County, of course, is no exception to that. But what we're seeing is a increase in folks who register as nonpartisan or decline to state. Now you have to be careful because there's a qualified political party called the American Independent Party.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't like to use that word because then people check the box American Independent thinking that means not affiliated with a party, but it is an actual party in California. So those folks at this primary election in June that we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
The major parties, or the qualified parties, I should say, can allow those folks to pick a ballot to vote on. So when you go to the polls on Election Day, the parties have decided.
In June,
thank you, June 8th, you can decide if you're registered as nonpartisan, you will be able to choose either to vote the Republican ticket or the Democrat ticket.
Well, now, how do you change your registration?
If you want to change your party registration, you have to re-register to vote.
Okay.
And the deadline to do that for June is May 24th.
Okay, so there's a lot of people that are obviously going independent and not the American Independent Party.
Right.
But the nonpartisan. Nonpartisan. So there's many more people are doing this, as you're saying. Yeah.
I think that we're seeing that in the numbers as well. And that's true statewide. That's not just us here.
Well, I think it's true nationwide. And I think that's, and there's more than ample reason for that, my friends, as we all know. So I'm going to go down, and I'm changing my registration from whatever it was to a nonpartisan because, again, we should be looking to people that are going to do the best for our country and not the best for the party.
You've always said that. You've always felt very strongly
about
that.
Yeah, well, I have. And trust me, I've crossed lines before here trying to look at the person and what they stand for and not what the party stands for because, you know, how in the world can you tell what parties stand for anymore anyway? You know, they say one thing and do another. You know, and anyway, I'm not going to get into personalities here, but okay. So you've noticed that, and that's I like that as a trend. What do you think about this initiative that says that the two highest vote getters are going to then be in the runoff? So it could be two Dems, two Republicans. It could be two Green parties. It could be anything.
That's Proposition 14 on the June ballot. Yeah, it's an interesting proposition. I can tell you for sure that Shasta County voters. The message that I've gotten in office for the last 6 years is that this is something that they want to be able to do.
Yeah.
Folks want to be able to go into the polling place or to receive at their home their vote-by-mail ballot, and they want to vote for who they want to vote for. They don't want to – I mean, we get more complaint calls at this time of the year about the fact that they can't vote for their chosen candidate because they're not registered with the right party. It's the single highest issue. So certainly I think our voters want it. There's – some troubling technical language in that proposition that'll be hard for us administratively, that's for me to figure out.
Well, one of the things we're going to do, we're going to have a show on these initiatives, maybe even a two-hour show, so we can get people that are experts on this, so we can say, just what exactly does this initiative say? You know what I mean? Because initiatives have the tendency, the way they're worded, to make you vote a certain way, as we know. Okay, this is Carl and the Bot. Our guest is Kathy Darlin, who is the running for re-election as the Shasta County Clerk, and
we're going to see you after this break. This is KCNR 1460 Clearly News Talk Radio. Good morning, Reading. It's 8:33 in the morning. You're listening to KCNR 1460. Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day today. High of 73, partly cloudy. And currently 51 degrees. Hey, we're taking your emails right now. I'm going to read this one out loud. This is for Kathy Darlin. If you're just tuning in, she's our county clerk and, again, running for re-election. And so we're talking about
in Office of the Registrar.
That's right. So why aren't absentee ballots counted as they come in or at least counted during election day? In close elections, counting absentee and provisional ballots can cause a delay of days or weeks. Seems unnecessary.
That's a really great question, and it's one that I get asked quite frequently. We actually count absentee ballots as soon as we are legally able to. We're not allowed by law to open those envelopes any sooner than 10 business days before the election. So on that day, we start opening them and examining them in preparation for running them through our high-speed ballot counter. And then starting on the day before the election, we start running those through the ballot counter. We continue all day on that Monday, and usually we end up finishing up everything we've got as much as we can get on Tuesday morning. And then we have to make the switch over to prepare for counting precinct ballots that evening. But so when you see results on the county elections website just a couple of minutes past 8 p.m. on election night, those are actually absentee returns or vote-by-mail returns. We don't have quote-unquote absentee voting anymore in California, but obviously lots and lots of folks vote by mail.
Well, I think it's a good question, too, because you see in other states when they're talking about, we're still counting absentee ballots, I mean, weeks later.
Well, and that does happen here as well. As I said earlier in the show, our highest day of return for absentee ballots is election day. Folks drop those ballots off at the polling places. Even if they want to vote at home, which we're happy to have them do, they still like to go in and see their poll workers, say hi, have a brownie, or whatever the case may be. So we don't get those ballots from our poll workers until usually 9 or 10 o'clock that night. Each one of those ballots has to be verified. The signature on the envelope has to be verified before they can be, again, opened and examined and run through the ballot counter. The California state law gives us 28 days to do what's called the canvass of the election. And so during that time, we are running ballots and also auditing the results to make sure that the machines are counting properly. We actually do a hand count after the election to make sure that what the machine counted is accurate. So all of those processes take a long time, and I know it's frustrating for folks, especially when margins are close, but it's just part of the process we have to perform to make sure that the count is accurate.
Okay. It is a good question because you always hear this thing, the election's hung up on 300 votes, and it gets down to something like that. So all the ones that come to you early, you can open up beforehand.
Correct.
You can get all those counted. It's just the ones that you get that day, and that's going to take, depending on how many, it could take a week or whatever.
Like I say, we have up to 28 days, and I've learned my lesson. I always say 28 days, and then we usually are done much earlier than that. But in the case of a very high turnout election, and provisional ballots are another great thing that to offer our voters. It's kind of a safety valve for folks who maybe have moved and failed to re-register. Mm-hmm. They can go to the precinct and fill out what's called a provisional ballot, or they can come into the elections office and do that as well.
How do you prove who you are?
Well, we match signatures on vote-by-mail ballots back to the signature that was on the voter registration card. The voter registration card has a penalty of perjury provision on it, but ID is not required in California state law.
I know. I find that amazing. So then I can, you could have anybody vote here. I mean, as long as they've been registered.
We have in the United States 26 states. Require some form of ID. Only 8 states currently require a photo ID, and California is not one of those.
What do you think about that?
You know, I think that the election law was written in a time where when you went to the precinct to vote at the polls, you knew all those ladies who were sitting behind that table. And I say ladies because unfortunately or fortunately, as the case may be, most of our poll workers are women. We're happy to have men come and serve with us. And we do have, actually, and increasingly, we have men serving also, which we're thrilled to have.
Probably their wives are pushing them out of the house. They've all been retired.
We have a lot of husband and wife teams, actually,
great,
that work at the polls. I try not to take public positions on issues that may come before me on the ballot where I have to count the votes.
Uh-huh.
On an issue like you asked me about the open primary issue,
right,
and I would tell you about my response is what I think the voters,
right,
have told me.
Well, you know, here's...
And voter ID is the same,
yeah,
thing.
Well, you know, and I respect what you're saying there, Kathy, but, you know, to me, what's wrong with providing an ID to show who you are before you vote in this country, just to make sure that you can vote in this country? Because in so many instances we've heard and seen people that they brag about how many times they voted or that, you know, they're not legal citizens and things like that.
I wonder what the law is in Arizona.
Well, whatever it is, it's changing.
Well, I can tell you that we have a DA in this county that prosecutes election fraud. Our previous DA did not.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm very pleased about that. And we have more than one conviction in this county for
election fraud.
We had,
yeah,
one person who did vote twice in the 2004 presidential election, and she was prosecuted by our current DA. And so we take those incidences when we find them very seriously and forward them on to the DA's office or the grand jury for prosecution.
Yeah. So, Kathy, what are your duties?
My duties are many and varied. We talked a lot about elections, but on the county clerk side, as I mentioned very briefly earlier, marriage licenses are purchased in my office. Also, folks who do business in the county under a name different than their own have to file a fictitious...
DBA.
Yeah, DBA.
That's what we went down there for.
We nabbed you the other day after we had to do our DBA.
Yes.
Like, Kathy, be on the show. Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
we also register folks to do all kinds of stuff that I had never heard of before I came to work in the clerk's office, like professional photocopiers, professional document handlers, legal process servers, that kind of stuff. So there's quite a
That's
bit involved. And passports as well.
Passports are a big deal. One of our emails came that talked about how you, I have dealings with the county clerk's office, including help expediting my passport, renewal at a time when the passport process was seriously impacted. So,
A couple of years ago, remember, as a result of the Homeland Security and the Patriot Act, they changed the rules about passports. Everybody, you have to have a passport now, right, to fly into Mexico Canada.
To go in and out of this country,
correct,
you have to have a passport.
Exactly. So at the time when that law changed, we saw a huge increase in the requests for folks to get passports, and unfortunately the passport service
wasn't even
remotely ready. And so instead of telling folks it would take 3 to 4 weeks, it then became much longer. So we spent a lot of time at that time in helping folks trying to get their travel documents.
Yeah. You know, and now it's back to, I guess, just a couple of weeks. So
is it back to a couple of weeks, or is it still...
I think we're still saying 3 to 4.
Is it? Okay. It seems to me we got one back.
So don't wait. If you're planning on taking a trip, take a look at your passport.
In fact, we know a couple that they got caught in that thing, and he could not travel with his wife on a big trip because of he couldn't get his passport. I'll tell you who it is afterwards.
That's
anyway,
right.
Hey, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, we want to talk about. There's another email that talks about the office there, but I want to talk about voter registration and what you see going on right now. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Our new home.
Good morning, Reading. It's 8:44. If you're just tuning in, Carl's over here just rocking.
You know, this is one of the reasons you do not want us to stream video is watching me dance at 8:45 in the morning. You know what? If you're in bed, you just have to roll over, put the pillow over your head, and say, "I don't believe I saw that." You know, Kathy Darling's here is going, "Is this what they do every morning?"
Oh, well, you know, whatever you got to do to keep your energy up. 605-4567, that is our hotline if you have questions for Kathy. We have about 15 minutes left before we do finish our portion of the show, of course. Dennis Miller is up at 9, and I'm taking your emails, Linda at KCNR1460.com.
You know, the we started talking about the trend in voter registration, but one of the things I do want to talk about is voter registration. Now, that's not considered a duty of your office. Is that correct?
As far as, you mean like doing a voter registration
drive, for example? Okay. But what you've noticed, though, here in the last few months is a lot of other people are interested in voter registration drives.
Absolutely. For the first time, I think this calendar year, we started doing classes for folks who wanted to become what's called a deputy registrar. We asked folks to come in and learn how to fill out a voter registration form, make sure they get all the required information on that form so folks will be registered correctly when they go out and do a voter registration drive. Sorry. So this year we started doing classes because we've had a really high interest in folks wanting to register other people to vote.
I think that's great. And, you know, you can't, I mean, you all don't do it. You don't believe that's a...
I don't think that's the charge of my office.
Right.
My predecessor, Ann Reed, always said, you know, you can register everybody in the county to vote, but you can't bring them to the polls. Folks who want to vote will register. The process is really easy. It's a single piece of paper to fill out. We have voter registration forms available everywhere. In a couple of years, you'll be able to register to vote online. We're not quite there yet, but so it's a... something that our local organizations do a really good job of doing.
Well, you know, the I think that a local organization is a good way to do it. You know, and we talk about voter registration drives. It's the way that you can get people to get out there and participate in our government, you know, because we need to. Our government is changing dramatically. And we, the people, need to, you know, we need to get into this. We can't just accept changes that we don't agree with. And the only way we're going to change it, and I emphasize this, the only way we're going to change this is at the ballot box. If we're not at the ballot box saying this is the way we think, this is the person I want to have representing me, then we're going to continue to have this same crap. How's this hopey changey thing working? You know, I see that, you know, them going after Wall Street, but I don't see anything different. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. Let me step back off the step here, off the soapbox. But the big thing, though, is the people that are out there registering voters.
We have quite a few of them now, many more this year than we've ever had before.
So we could, you know, we can have a free fire radio registration drive if we wanted to. We could fill out. We could do that,
certainly,
right?
Certainly, absolutely. Anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm. And you're finding the trend is that people are starting to. Are they re-registering from a Democrat or a Republican and going independent?
You know, I'd have to take a look at some historical numbers to give you a better perspective on that. They're definitely the decline to state voters or the nonpartisan or independent folks are growing. I'm not sure if it's coming exclusively from one party.
Right.
I think it's probably more from one than another, but I'm not sure.
Well, would you? Could we ask you to do that?
Sure.
And kind of get back to us, because I find that a very interesting trend. And of course, we've got the primaries coming up here real fast, and June 8th is the
primary election. So governor's on the ballot, lieutenant governor, all the state offices, and all the county elected department heads as well, and a couple of our supervisors.
Now, what was it? The city council, of course, that's okay.
That's November.
I was just thinking about what they wanted to take off the ballot box.
Right.
You don't get involved in that, though, do you?
No, that's a city issue.
Okay,
the city council,
city.
Made a decision. And
then they changed it.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people in your office, Kathy, that work with you or and underneath you that you're responsible for?
There's 11 of us total. And then we have several extra help folks, which are like temporary part-time folks that come in.
So what's the biggest problem facing your office, you'd say, in here in the next year?
Well, kind of the biggest unknown is, for our office is how we actually cast our ballots. Right now we use what's called an optical scan ballot. You make a line to connect the head and the tail of an arrow that points at the name of the candidate that you want to vote for. Whether you vote at home or if you come to the polling place, you see that same ballot. And then we have in each precinct a electronic voting machine. And those machines were purchased in 2003. So they're now 7 years old. And like any computer device, they're starting to get old. They were very expensive. And so replacing them is certainly a big question mark in my mind. I won't spend any tax dollars on voting equipment until we absolutely have to.
What's wrong with this thing with just putting a line on there?
The federal government passed a law after, remember, Florida 2000,
yes.
We had all those problems. The
Gore
Fed,
and Bush.
But that was a hanging chad problem. It doesn't have to do with just a mark on it, does it?
Well, the hanging chad problem, as you call it, led to a really huge piece of federal legislation called the Help America Vote Act, which was passed in 2002 and authorized $4 billion in funding to buy voting equipment, which is a lot of that is how we purchase the system here in this county.
Uh-huh.
But that law requires that voters be able to access the ballot independently and privately, regardless of their physical limitations. So you have to have a device that will play the ballot aloud. Mm-hmm. For folks, or
right.
That folks with manual dexterity issues who may not be able, because of arthritis or some other issue, to hold a pen and make that mark on the paper, those folks have to be able to cast that ballot without any assistance. So we need to find, at some point, some device that will do that.
How about a voice-activated one?
We've
got that software right now.
Well, the problem is that to get that software authorized for use in my office, it has to go through a whole testing process at both the federal level and the state level. It
mm-hmm.
usually takes about a year and a couple of $1 million.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a...
Never mind.
Yeah.
But, Al Gore should be glad that they did not have those laws, those rules enacted in 2000. Because, see, he would have been, maybe he would have been elected president. And if he had been elected president, just think, he would not have the Nobel Prize. He would not have Oscars. He would not have Emmys. He would not have won the Heisman Trophy or the Miss America contest. So all of that has changed. Was just because there was a few hanging chad. And I just have to believe is that people saying, "Well, I didn't know how I voted." I just had a little problem with that one afterwards. I got confused when I punched out my chad down in Florida.
In Florida. They had a lot of issues with punch card voting. We used punch cards in this county for over 30 years with no problem.
I wonder why.
Well, because we maintained the equipment, and they did not do that in Florida in a consistent way.
Florida.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have to take a break here and finish up our last segment. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. It is 8:55. We're in our last 5 minutes here.
And our guest this morning is Kathy Darling. Any last-minute phone calls here, 605-4567. It's our hotline if you have any last-minute questions. We've got just a few minutes left. And tomorrow we're going to be having open line. We've got some juicy stuff we're going to cover tomorrow.
A lot of stuff to talk about.
Probably want to listen because there's some pretty important things that we're going to be talking about and getting your input on.
Yeah, death penalties, Arizona's laws. Even though we say Arizona is not California, the laws they're putting out there seem to be striking the nerve centers of many people. You get 70% of a state that agrees that people could be stopped just because they appear they could be illegal.
Let me see your papers.
I found that really interesting that so many of the state. But then again, the governor said, we've been asking for federal help for decades. We're getting nothing. It's time to take over. So anyway.
Getting your attention now.
Our guest, Kathy Darling, who is the Shasta County clerk who is running for re-election and also the officer of Office of the Registrar of Voters. We've gotten a lot of information that way. Two of the facts that I think are important is Many of the new registrations are going nonpartisan. And it would be interesting to see if, and if you could find out how many of them are coming from the two parties, or just these are just new people. And a lot of new voter registration drives are going on out there. I think people from the last election learned, learned something about going out and getting people registered. And I believe probably the people that are registering are other people that think the way they do. I can imagine that. So that you want to register people that, you know, that will vote, you would think, along your lines. Even though that they probably, you know, anybody can register with them.
Right. You're not, as when you go out and solicit folks to register, you're not allowed to screen. Basically.
No, I know, and I understand that. Yeah. And, you know, and even though that, but, you know, you can go into places, like, you know, when Acorn was doing huge voter registrations and other things.
And they were never here in Shasta County, just as a clarification.
I didn't know that some people think they were.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, you're running for re-election. Of course, we're going to have your opponent, Russell Hunt, on if he chooses to come on the radio here. So we want to be fair here with everything we're doing. Any last thoughts here on from your job, things people ought to be looking for?
Website, et cetera.
Well, my campaign website is kathy4clerk.webs.com. But the county election website is a great source of information for folks if you want to see information about the candidates that are running for office for this June, for example. And that is elections.co.shasta.ca.us. If you Google Shasta County elections, you'll find a link.
Right.
I mean, you've got the initiatives on there, too, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay.
We do have that information.
Closing thoughts, Kathy. You have 2 minutes left.
I'm here to talk to both of you and, of course, all your listeners and ask them for the gift of their vote and their support.
Four more years.
That's my intention.
Okay.
And my commitment.
Any drastic changes you see coming besides that you're talking about the new election equipment that may or may not happen?
No, well, and that's a pie in the sky where, you know, the funding just isn't there to buy anything new. And I don't see that there's anything wrong with marking paper ballots. It provides for a very transparent election. If you want to do recounts, you can always go back and look and see the original mark the voter made.
A lot of times the simpler the better. And I understand what you're saying. There are some people that can't. But I think there's ways of handling that. If somebody cannot handle a pen, that they can tell somebody assisting them how to do it, you know, just to mark it.
Yeah. The bottom line in my office is I just have to follow the law.
Right. So. Okay. Great. Okay. As Linda said, thank you very much, Kathy, for being on.
Yes, thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
As Linda said, tomorrow we're going to be open line for from 8 to 9. We're going to be talking about any number of subjects. If there's a topic, just send it to Linda at kcnr1460.com. Later on this week, Senator Tom Harmon, who is running for the Republican nomination for Attorney General for the state of California. I'd like to ask him a few questions on how he feels on some of the new topics that are coming through here. And just a number of other things.
Happy Monday.
People. Yeah, it's
Happy Monday. Oh, you always know the phone calls come in when you got 30 seconds left. Let's roll that over to tomorrow. We've got to say goodbye here. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio.
Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.